Super chats are not going through.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, sorry to keep you guys holding. Please share, like, subscribe to the channel. If you have not subscribed, do so now. If you are on the chat and you have not liked this, please help us grow by liking this. Hold on. Now I gotta turn this all off.
Sorry, guys.
We had a day today. You know what it was? I'm not even going to lie to you guys. We were just pissed today. We were just like upset most of the day, complaining with one another, discussing on whether or not we needed getaway plans to get out of the country.
Just
a wild time to live in.
Honestly, like, I've been in a really shitty mood today, and I hate to say that because it's like, why would I let politics affect my mood and these people? But the reality is that we have no representation at all. And Shuda says that he can send money. Why?
Angel, so, can you check what's going on with our monetization on the back end?
Special shout out to Linda Bada for trolling all the feminist simps.
All these effeminate the simp men on Twitter while I do the minimum at my government job. I love Shuda so much.
I love it. I think you should be able to, because I just tried to send a super chat.
Try refreshing the page.
To yourselves, and I was able to.
Yeah, Shuda, try refreshing the page and seeing if maybe that goes through, because I think that we turned it on once we had already gone live.
Okay. I think it's fine, Shuda, because I'm doing it right now. Like, for example, if I buy a super chat right now, $2 buy and send to myself.
It lets you?
It lets me, yeah. Look.
Yeah, I think just refresh the page if you're trying to you're trying to support us with a donation, just go ahead and refresh the page if you're having problems doing so. We hadn't done it when we started the chat, but
We're all here now. As you guys know, we are 100% self-funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people, but we do have a amazing sponsor. Shout out to Century H2O. If you're looking for an inexpensive under the water sink water filtration system, we recommend Century H2O. And it is made actually by a patriot out of Arizona. It's a 20 or 10 step, right? 10 or 20 step under the water filtration system.
15, isn't it 15? I thought it was a 15 step.
But it's
anyways under 20 minutes.
Under 20 minutes for you to install. Removes all the toxins out of your water, including chloride, lead. What's the other one that calcifies your pineal gland? Fluoride, which is the reason why we have so many zombies walking
around. What's the one that makes you gay? That makes the frogs gay?
Atrazine.
It clears that out too.
And then it replenishes minerals that you need, like magnesium and calcium. Nelson is a great guy that's actually still providing water filtration systems over in East Palestine, Ohio. As you guys know, we kind of forgot about that story, but these people are still struggling with their water. So Century H2O, and you can use 10% off to get, MPL 10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, so support Nelson. And we'll probably have Nelson on the show in May to talk about the quality of Florida's water, in particular Miami-Dade and South Florida's water. And we'll have all that information, which will be a very informative show at that point to discuss how it is that they're killing us so slowly. All right, guys. So right off the gate, what can I tell you? It's going to be a show about DeSantis today. We got a lot to say about DeSantis and Florida legislators and the Republican Party in general and kind of where it is that.
And how they sold us out to Israel First, which is what's actually going on right now. If you haven't seen my story, if you didn't see my Instagram story, pretty much what's going on today is that Ron DeSantis is on a world tour. He has completely abandoned Florida. He's a part-time governor who's running a shadow campaign. We've been exposing that shadow campaign for a few months now, basically using a book tour to launch a pre-presidential campaign.
To legally launch the presidential campaign, because that's what the deceit is about.
Right. So the entire thing is that this man allegedly wrote a book, which obviously it's a ghostwriter, and he is going He started in the U.S. going around places to sell his book and talk to people, even though we know that is actually the legal loophole, because technically he is breaking FEC laws for illegally campaigning before actually launching a presidential campaign and using these legal loopholes to do so. So now he didn't stop just at the U.S. He's actually now on a world tour. He was in Japan this week. Today, he was in Israel. And what was Ron DeSantis doing in Israel? Signing an hate speech laws for Florida in a foreign country with two Jewish legislators, Mike Caruso and Andy Fine, who are the people that authored this bill, HB 269. We talked about HB 269 a few weeks ago. We explained to you guys exactly what it was supposed to do, why it was happening. Quick refresher for those of you who didn't actually watch that show. Basically, a few months ago, or actually more than that, probably a year or two ago, there is a neo-Nazi group. We don't know if they're organic. We don't know if they're feds. We don't know it's a combination of two.
We don't want to insult them either way if they're not feds.
Right.
We disagree with, you know,
we disagree their methods. But the point is that this group called the Goyim Defense League, it's a group of neo-Nazis, and they have gone around not just Florida, but other states, and they drop off anti-Semitic flyers in neighborhoods. And what do these anti-Semitic flyers usually say? They'll point out certain things like everybody in the Trump administration is Jewish. And then they'll go through a list of everybody who's Jewish in the Trump administration. They'll do the same thing for Biden. Everyone at the, you know, everybody in the Biden administration, blah, 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 blah.
Everyone at Disney.
Everyone in Disney. Everyone here. The ADL, how the ADL was founded. So that has been going around, you know, these people have been going around. At the same time, they've also projected certain messages that people don't agree with, including Kanye West was right. So what resulted from that? Jewish organizations, groups like the Anti-Defamation League, Stop Anti-Semitism, Stop Jewish Hate, a few of them, they started lobbying legislators and telling legislators, particularly Ron DeSantis, they saw you as well, that they needed to crack down on hate speech, because if they didn't, then of course we're going to have the second coming of the Holocaust and everyone's going to die, because that's what this is the thing that they have to say and able to crack down on hate speech. And so these two reps, can you guys hear us? Cause I see someone. Yeah. I think you guys can hear us.
I think they hear us.
You hear us, right?
Yeah.
Just somebody was like, is this thing on? And I wasn't sure if like the mic was
on.
Oh,
I think it's because of, it was Shani making sure that the donations were working.
Okay. and so long story short is that they create this bill and then they basically lobby every single legislator in Florida, including Democrats, including Republicans, to co-author and co-sign this bill, because of course, if you don't, then you're anti-Semitic and you're a bad person and you want people to die. And so today was the signing. And we knew from Laura Loomer and we knew from a few people that this was supposed to happen, that DeSantis was personally traveling to Israel to, you know, I guess, wow some of his donors, wow some of the Jewish community as one of the most pro-Israel governors in the country, and signed this bill. So we're not surprised. We spoke to legislators around the Florida.
All over Florida.
We spoke to plenty of legislators. She spoke to Barquin, who is her state rep. I spoke to Vicky Lopez. We talked to Daniel Perez, who is another
and
rep.
And a few other people.
And a few other people. And we told them, we said, we have concerns over this bill. Of course, their original reaction was, how dare you not want to help the Jewish people who are being attacked by flyers in their homes, right? And so we explained to them why. First of all, it's actually backed by the ACLU. The lobbyists, the people lobbying for this bill is the ACLU. You know, the people that are pro-abortion, pro-gender surgeries for children, the people that hate Christians. So this very complicated or compromised or biased What are they? A non-governmental organization?
Yeah, they're an activist. They're supposed to be an organization fighting for civil rights. They're supposed to be a civil rights organization.
So these people are the ones that are lobbying Republican lawmakers in Florida to pass hate speech laws in our state, right? And so I point that out today. Obviously, we already knew it was going to pass. The legislators basically told us that you guys can go fuck yourselves. It doesn't matter. We're going to pass it.
Well, actually, let's in fairness say what it was that we actually, what the response was. In not so many words, we were told that there was really nothing that could be done. The legislation was going to pass. And when we start digging outside of talking to the legislators, basically what we find is that the bill is going to pass because Ron DeSantis wants the bill to pass, which is a trend that we've been seeing with several bills, where it seems like these bills that are being presented and co-sponsored are not happening organically within these legislators. It's almost like Ron DeSantis is calling in favors. Mm-hmm. And Ron DeSantis knew he was going to go to Israel. And in order to make this big PR hoopla around it, he needed this bill.
Mm-hmm.
He needed this bill. So what's even more terrifying isn't that our legislator said, well, we're not willing to listen to you on this. It's almost like, I hear you. I understand your concerns. They're valid concerns. And yet I need to sign this bill.
Right.
Now, why would Ron DeSantis pressure or why would legislators feel, I don't want to assume that they were pressured by DeSantis, but why would Florida legislators feel like there's been an expectation from DeSantis that this bill would go through? Because last time I checked, that's not exactly how it is that our government is supposed to work or how legislation is supposed to be passed. And, you know, we had whistleblowers come forward when it came to SB 1316, which is the bill that would require bloggers talking about the governor to register with the state. And we had whistleblowers come forward to let us know that this bill is coming from Ron DeSantis, allegedly, and that this pressure is being applied to the legislators, allegedly. And then some of the legislators that are receiving this pressure aren't very happy about being caught up in the situation where now they have to explain to their constituents why bloggers have to register with the state, as if though we don't have free press anymore.
To be honest with you, I'm also very disappointed in big conservative influencers that live in Florida who I have personally reached out to and told them, here are some bills that are extremely problematic, not just the HB 269, but also particularly the one that wants to crack down on bloggers, the one that is going to make it easier, the one that's going to make it easier for Ron DeSantis to sue you know, independent media like us, like others, for libel and slander. And I think conservative influencers are at the point where they want to punish their opponents so bad. They want to go after the left and use force and use power so bad that they forget that a lot of things are actually going to work against us as well. So the responses that we usually get from certain influencers are, well, you know, it's not so bad. Like, we don't actually engage
California.
It could be worse. It could be California. Why don't you move? Blah, blah, blah. All these things.
You could have Gillum.
Right. So I think that this legislative session has served as a reminder for me, at least, and maybe Bella can say the same, that the Republican Party does not represent us. Dusty. They don't represent Christians. They don't represent millennials at all. They don't represent
Latinos.
They don't represent the American people. They just don't. They represent special interest groups. The whole entire thing right now with this bill, which, by the way, if you go through our Twitter, MPL305, right? MPL Podcast 305. If you go through our Twitter, and I know Shuda has been watching me all day fight with the Sims, you're going to see how Ron DeSantis's supporters, who are some of the most vile and disgusting humans to ever walk this planet, by far, pretty much up there with Antifa. When you go through our Twitter, you're going to see how they're defending this bill and basically shaming every single one of us who's speaking out against HB 269. Okay. You have people what's his name? I don't know if you guys know Red State Media. They're like an independent, like Republican media publication who is obviously backing Ron DeSantis. You had one of the writers go back and forth with me and say that, oh, you're still free to be a Nazi. Like, you're still free to wear your swastika and you're this. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, these, like, there is no longer a separation between me talking to an Antifa person like Billy Corbin and someone who supports Ron DeSantis, because they literally have the same motherfucking argument. They've got a worse argument
because, you know, again, we manage these really big accounts during the single most divisive election that our country has ever seen. And we were, you know, posting during the BLM riots, and clearly there were Black people that were upset at us about that. Yeah. And then the around the same time, COVID was going on. So then you had the people that were like, what's wrong with people? You want us dead. So it was a really divisive, crazy times. And yet, as shitty as some people's takes were on it, they seem to argue based off facts and yeah, some feelings some of like, this is wrong, but almost like from a very human place, right? Like, oh,
you should care, about
Black people, and you should. That's not what we're seeing from these people. I've never been more accosted about my physical appearance like I have been by these descent. It's like, it's so low level IQ for a group of people that parade themselves around as being so intellectually superior to Trump supporters to then default their arguments like, oh, you're fat, or, you know, you're ugly, or what. It's like, oh, neither one of us are in this because of our looks. Again, Linda has talked about this several times. Like, this is not what it's about. So to have people like dismiss our thoughts, dismiss our opinions. Yeah. We've had our work discredited. I was so upset yesterday. Cause
what
it's
did
like,
they say? What about yesterday?
Well, just, with Chris Nelson, you know?
Oh, Nelson,
it's like, I've always made it a point to not discredit Chris Nelson's work. Like, I disagree with you on several things. For those of you that don't know Chris Nelson, he's an independent journalist out of Fort Lauderdale and an activist as well, who was very involved during the anti-mask protests of 2020 and going into 2021. And I consider him to be a patriot. I consider him that he's out there, you know, trying to do his part to preserve the republic and do the best that he can while not.
I always hated him.
Linda's always felt some kind of way about him, but she said it. She said, because I always knew that he could do something like this. But now he's 100% and it's not against Chris personally, because really he's just a representation of what this split is now occurring to the people that feel like they need to have blind loyalty to DeSantis while at the same time accusing us of being the cultists.
Right. That's the best. That's the best.
You know, for him
actually
to go out there and be like, well, don't listen to these people and discredit our contribution to the community. You know, like, oh, they're just looking for clout or whatnot.
Don't listen. What he said was, don't listen to podcaster influencers
out of Instagram
who are just self-serving and basically for clout. Chris Nelson has only been around literally since 2020 or 2021. Correct. We have been around since probably 2018, 2019, but somehow, some way, because he decides to be a simp for Ron DeSantis, and because we challenge some of the legislation that's being passed by the Florida Republicans, that of course you shouldn't listen to us. You should listen to flamboyant, highlighted Chris fucking Nelson, who gets drunk on Twitter and starts going off on different people. But I don't want to talk about this loser anymore. Let's go back for a second to this very complicated bill, okay? Because these people want to argue that why would you care if we pass a bill that is protecting people's property rights? First of all, there's already laws that protect people, your property rights, and you know that, right? Including the Castle Doctrine. So if somebody comes and tries to break into your house and uses force, you can shoot them. You're not going to be charged with murder or anything. We have that. You have loitering laws, you have trespassing laws. So all of these laws are already in place to protect people, Floridians, whether it's Christians, Jewish, Blacks, yellow, purple, gay, straight, bisexual, and transgender. All of these laws already exist and are in place for you to protect yourself, for you to protect your property rights and your family. What's happening right now, whether they want to admit it or not, is that these two reps from this specific ethnic minority are using their power, because they're in the legislative, they're in the legislative branch of Florida, to punish people whose speech they disagree on. And they're not shy to tell you. If you go to Rep. Andy Fine's Instagram, particularly him, he'll tell you exactly that he's going to put you in jail for passing out flyers. They consider that an attack. Now, you guys tell me, when was the last time any rep at all, whether it's in Florida or whether it's in Texas or in Wyoming or in California, obviously it's not going to happen. You guys tell me, when was the last time that a law was created to protect Christians?
Well, wait.
Which, like, you tell me, when was the last time that any Republican...
Anybody in the chat?
Anybody in the chat
remember when was the last time that we had a bill be presented over the last couple of years that would protect Christians or conservative activists or offer some kind of protection either from Antifa or riots or, being called a crystal fascist. Anybody remember any time?
Never, because the Republican Party does not represent the average Christian. Never. They don't care about Christians. In fact, I'm starting to understand why religious people, many of them, including Christians, always abstain from voting and don't care to be involved in politics. I'm starting to understand why, because of this, because of this situation. Now, I think the funniest part is the shaming from our own state reps, the reps that I've spoken to. And of course, the simps who are like, wow, that you just want Nazis to like come to your home. First of all, you're not being attacked by a flyer. That is not an attack. Is that an attack?
No, they're just mean words. If that was the case, then we could cry about memes like Jenna Ellis does all day on the internet.
Right. Voting is, you know what? This is exactly why I said it today, and I'll say it again. I don't think I will move a finger, and I don't think I will vote ever again past 2024. People were like, oh, well, the worst is that then you're going to have Biden and you're going to have Democrats.
What difference does it
make? The fuck is the difference between a Democrat and a Republican at this point? What's the difference? That Democrats pass HB laws for transgender individuals and for gay people and for blacks?
The bigger conversation is that, you know, what we've been saying for some time, which is particularly at this point in time where we're at right now, 2023, 3 years into the occupation, this party wars of the left versus the right, it's over. The unit party is the greatest enemy that you have. When you, as a conservative voter, go out to vote, the people that you elect are conservative. If a Democrat wins, that means that your side lost, and that person is more than likely going to present legislation or fill out their position from a leftist perspective. Now, when a Republican wins, then you would expect that that person is going to have the best interest of Republicans and conservatives and the constituents in their particular state, county, you know, municipality, whatever, in mind. We are not seeing that.
We're not.
So who's hurting us more? Is it the Democrats that we're not voting for and don't owe us anything? They don't owe us to pass laws that we agree with. Or is it the Republicans that we elect to represent us and then go off to Washington, D.C. or to Tallahassee or wherever it may be and then vote against the better interests of the people that actually elect them into office? Right. And here's the thing. My problem isn't that it's an anti-Semitism bill. Clearly, they're going to give it a name as an anti-Semitism type bill, label it like that, because then it makes it harder to challenge what's in the bill, which is very simple. It's unconstitutional to criminalize free speech. Hate speech is free speech. You do not have to like it. People can say mean things about you on the internet. They can say mean things about our country. It does not matter. It is free speech. That's what we celebrate about this country. So Our bigger issue, because then it comes to the other part where the argument that they make, well, just don't pass out flyers in residential areas. Well,
never will. Honestly, I could hate your race. I could hate your religion. I don't care how much I dislike whatever you are. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you know, every single person in the DeSantis administration is a closeted homosexual, which they probably are, most of them. I just don't care, honestly. I wouldn't do it. So it's not for me. It's not that I'm like, oh, I can't pass off.
Well, it doesn't just apply to residential areas.
No, of course
not. So if you are in front of, let's say you're at a school board meeting and you're outside of the school board meeting and you happen to be passing out a flyer that says, I don't know, George Soros just spent $60 million to buy up Radio Mambi and other AM radio stations targeting Hispanic Americans. If you put that on a flyer, we don't know what's going to be considered hate speech. And last time I checked, the ADL and the ACLU both agree that criticizing George Soros is considered both hate speech and anti-Semitic. So now you can be charged, potentially, you can be charged for a crime for criticizing George Soros in an open forum and then have your life ruined because they'll call you anti-Semitic, which is the worst thing that anybody could possibly do. I didn't even realize that there had been an article until I saw that you had posted it, an article that had been written by the Daily Dot, where they take a video, of course, they take a video that I had posted on our Instagram page talking about HB 269, where I say they're coming after free speech under the guise of anti-Semitism, but almost as if implying that I was saying that anti-Semitism wasn't like a real thing is what they're implying.
The Daily Dot, so you guys know, it's the bill is so bad that there is an Antifa reporter, her name is Claire Godarf, I think that's, I thought it was Gorf, but it's not.
Coincidentally, a friend of Billy Corbin.
Coincidentally, a great friend of Billy Corbin who does a bunch of articles for him. And that Antifa reporter is basically on the side of Ron DeSantis and the Republicans when it comes down to hate speech. Do you tell me, is that normal to you? Is that normal that an Antifa reporter who's, if you go through, and I tweeted her today, if you go through her Twitter, you're going to see what she believes in. You think that's normal that an Antifa reporter is siding with the governor of Florida for HB's laws? And then when we point out the problem, you have all of his supporters come and jump on our box and tell us that we're wrong, that we're just anti-Semites, that we don't respect property rights, that we don't respect all these things. I mean, and then of course, when you argue back and forth, then you're going to come and call you names.
Yeah, and then that's the other point. They're like, well, people shouldn't be dropping flyers in people's homes anyways. I know. Well, that's why it's right. Trespassing is already illegal. That's why littering is already illegal. That's why being a public nuisance is already illegal. The problem is upping the punishment to these things as they are doing now, where it's going to turn. I mean, is it a federal charge?
It's a felony. It's a felony in the state of Florida. Basically, they put it as a hate crime. So passing out anti-Semitic flyers is now a hate crime in Florida. And they'll try to excuse it. Well, it's private property. Let me tell you something. Some of the worst hate that we get comes from people like Billy Corbin, who we have talked about before, and others. Billy Corbin's entire Twitter talks about Christo fascists and how dangerous Christo fascists are for America and how we are trying to implement some sort of Christo fascist agenda. You guys tell me, how is it that Christo fascists are taking over the US and trying to implement this Christo fascist agenda, whatever that means, if we have instead two Jewish lawmakers who are creating laws like HB 269. If Christo fascists were actually in charge of the US, or how he created that film, God forbid, and it's all about evangelical Christians, don't you guys think that instead we would be creating laws for Christo fascists? Wouldn't that make more sense if the reality was that we are the most dangerous group in America?
Instead, what we actually have is the Miami-Dade GOP wishing the Jewish community a happy Passover and completely ignoring Easter Sunday for Christians.
Oh, yeah.
We had that happen here in Miami-Dade.
That was another thing, which, by the way, if you are in Miami-Dade, every single Cuban-American Republican, Alex Rizzo, Daniel Perez, Vicky Lopez, Barquin, Porras, every single Miami-Dade Cuban-American state legislator voted to pass HB 269.
Oh, which is so important to point out, because I posted about this on Truth Social today, and somebody commented back like, oh, you know, and the Democrats determine what it is that's hate speech. I'm not going to put this on the Democrats. This bill was presented and co-sponsored by Republicans. It was signed by a Republican governor in the quote-unquote freest state in the union.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Please don't tell me that free speech isn't under attack. You can make the comparison to California. Oh, I'd still rather have Gavin Newsom. This is happening here in the free state of Florida by Republicans actively attacking the First Amendment.
Right.
I don't care how much worse it could get in California. If we lose Florida, the entire country went to shit.
I posted it on my story 2 years ago, 3 years ago. When Trump was president, he also signed some anti-Semitism laws, which we were critical of. And it was for like college students. So it was kind of like, yeah, of course, you shouldn't discriminate against Jewish students. I completely agree with that. So basically what he did, I think, was include like your ethno-religion or ethnicity into like the non-discrimination law, something like that. Right. And then what followed after that was that the state of Texas created some laws, because I don't know if you guys remember, but there was like this whole Israel boycott. It was called the boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. So basically, companies, American companies, were trying to boycott Israel based on what they call like crimes against Palestine. And what ended up happening was that the federal government intervened in behalf of Israel and tried to punish corporations in Texas if they boycotted Israel. And how would they punish them? But not by not giving them projects with the state. So let's say that you had a construction company that was going to work on the border wall, but they also wanted to boycott Israel, then you wouldn't get the contract with the state of Texas because you didn't pledge allegiance to Israel. The courts actually struck that down because a corporation challenged it in the court and they won. It is unconstitutional to try to punish an American company for not pledging allegiance to a foreign country. No matter how you feel about Israel, it's still not an American
Well, Candace, country. We were talking about it, how Candace Owens finally made a comment about it, and it was a big deal because aside from us, you don't hear a lot of people actually talking about this. And Candace is a big enough voice. And we'll get to the Candace Crowder thing later on because it's not as important. But, you know, Candace went on Twitter and she makes the observation where it's like, while it is not illegal for the governor to go on a world tour, you guys have to admit that it's distasteful. The Fort Lauderdale, Broward County was just underwater and the governor has yet to visit Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, even what's his name? Brandon Leslie from the Florida Voice News. He said it. He's like, it's a really bad look for the governor not to visit a flood affected area like Fort Lauderdale. Now, it's not getting a lot of attention, but there's a lot of people that lost their homes. They lost their belongings. Like people's houses got flooded and it was just as bad as a Cat 3 hurricane, a Cat 4 hurricane.
And not to mention that there is an insurance crisis currently going on in Florida because of executive orders signed by Ron DeSantis.
It's not even executive orders. They put it into law.
Well, put correct. It's written into law right now. So in the middle of an insurance crisis here in Florida, where many homeowners are uninsured at this time because they simply cannot afford it, because again, legislation that has been passed by a Republican House with a Republican governor, you're going to continue this book tour. It was bad enough when he was in New York and he was in Georgia and he was in Connecticut and he was everywhere else. Now this man is in South Korea, in Israel, in Japan.
Yeah.
Where? Like, I guess that I'm trying to understand, where is the legality of it? I know that in Japan, he claims that he was going over there to look at trade between Florida and Japan. But where's the excuse for all these other things? Because the last time I checked, the only person that can speak in regards to U.S. politics with foreign leaders is the president of the United States of America.
Well, their excuse as to why Ron DeSantis can go on this world tour is because there are trade relationships with these countries. So I think that Japan's like one of the top five traders with Florida, and he's trying to get a direct flight from Tokyo here, something like that. So these are the excuses that they made. Of course, today, when he was signing the HB 269 into law, I believe yesterday was like Israel's anniversary, 75th anniversary as a nation. So he was out there celebrating that as well. And I'm not sure what he's going to do in South Korea, but basically it is an unofficial presidential run. The other thing that
General Flynn was held in contempt and for what's it called? The Logan Act, which is basically just that when you're representing the United States. So it just seems to me that the governor's out there doing things that could potentially, like, what is he doing on this world tour? Like, how much international, relations can he possibly be doing on behalf of Florida months leading up to when he's going to announce a presidential run?
I hope they look into it. I hope he gets in trouble with the FEC. I hope they crack down on him. I don't know if they'll be able to do it since he's using the loopholes. But the other thing that it's pretty upsetting to me, to us, and to many people, of course, unless you're a simp for Ron DeSantis and you don't care, is the fact that he's actually pushing the Florida legislature to amend the resign to run law. What does that mean? If you're going to run for anything, you have to resign from your current position so that you can run for president or governor or whatever it may be. But of course, Ron DeSantis, who thinks he is the king of Florida and not the governor of Florida, wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. Right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So now he wants to stay as governor of Florida while he runs for president and announces it sometime now in mid-May. And
when the legislative session closed, that then he was going to announce. Duh, because when the legislative session closed and they would have amended the laws, that would actually, the law isn't even being amended. So as the law states right now is that if you're holding public office in Florida, if you're going to run for something else, anything else, you have to give up your current position in order to run for that. Mm-hmm. Now the law, get this. The law's not just being amended. It's being changed just for Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. So the only position that it's going to apply to is if you're running for president, if you're running for a presidential campaign. It doesn't apply across the board to all elected officials. They're literally just amending the bill just for Ron DeSantis. And that's the part that we've been talking about that's so infuriating. Ron DeSantis could run for president. It's the lies. It's the deception. It's the telling people, the gaslighting of people who are calling it, hey, you're running a shadow campaign. No, I'm not. You're crazy. No, I'm not. You're just causing division. That's the problem.
I think that's the problem, but also the fact that he backstabbed Trump. I don't think that a lot of people realize that there's some of us that do care about loyalty. You backstab Trump, then of course you're going to backstab your supporters and the people that put you in power to begin with, which is us Floridians, people who trusted that you would stay in your role and be in Florida for at least 4 more years before you decided to be a presidential candidate. I mean, what aside from COVID, which is what they're trying to make this entire, oh, and of course a cultural war. So you basically have a very split party right now and a very split movement. Everyone's fighting with each other. You have influencers fighting. Today I saw conservative and fighting with the anti-gay Christians, which include Christ and Gray, or also known as Bryce and Gray, and some other girl, Morgan. You obviously have the disagreements with Ron DeSantis supporters and Trump supporters. But there's also the pundits and people who are completely out of touch with reality. If you've seen last week, President Trump had not so many good things to say about Florida, most of them which were true. It was actually, I think, a PAC that put out a statement saying that Ron DeSantis's Florida was a, you know, death and tragic and not a great place to raise your kids, not a good place to buy a home, like all the things that are actually happening in Florida. And who were the first people to cry out in desperation, get triggered, get angered, say that Trump was completely insane, that he should move out of Florida and go back to New York because he's a New York liberal? Who were those people? The Sims, and mostly pundits. Pundits like Jesse Kelly, pundits like Ben Shapiro, pundits like Dave Rubin. You're talking about people who are rich. You're talking about people who make above average, people who are not in the middle class anymore, who's cushing. They've had a job the entire time there was a quarantine, the entire time that there was lockdowns, that people lost their jobs and whatnot. These people continue talking on the internet, talking online, and they kept their jobs. They're not struggling. somebody like Dave Rubin, who can actually afford to buy vanity babies, two of them, of course he's not struggling. He was able to sell his Los Angeles home or his California home for I don't know how many millions of dollars. I think it was like $12 million, I think is what I posted, or mm-hmm. something like that. Of course, if you come to Florida and you want a mansion of the same size, you could probably, at the time that he moved here 2 years ago, you probably bought it for like $2 million as opposed to $6 million. You had Ben Shapiro, who is probably a millionaire at this point, saying that everything that Trump said was not true because he moved here 2 years ago and his family moved here and his parents-in-laws and all these people moved here and they all disagree with the things that Trump said. Well, because you're not the middle class. You're not struggling, Ben Shapiro. You make millions of dollars, probably thousands of dollars a month. You're not struggling. You have a multi-million dollar company, okay, with God knows how many thousands of employees. You're comfortable. There are people who can't afford their groceries. There are people who can't afford home insurance. There are people who can't afford gas. There are people who are defaulting on their credit cards, on their car payments, on their mortgages. That's not you, though. So why do you care about the struggles of the middle class? You know who cares about the struggles? How can you speak about them? You know who cares about the struggles of the middle class? Trump. Because he's a populist, because he won by getting all the people that the Republican Party had forgotten for many years, he won them back from Barack Obama. But of course, back in 2016, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, and everybody else who's now an anti-Trumper was an anti-Trumper then. And that is exactly why I don't really fuck with Ben Shapiro or the Daily Wire.
Well, amongst other things.
Amongst other things.
Angel, can you help us bring up the super chats? Because it's only going up all the way to Adam. And I know that we had a few right at the beginning and I want to go over them.
Just go all
guys,
the way to the top.
Wow. Oh. First of all, thank you. I'm kind of in shock right now. Thank you so much for the overwhelming support. You guys know that we are self-funded. Being able to grow our channel really depends on the support that we receive from you. So this is almost overwhelming right now. Thank you guys so much from the bottom of our heart. Shoot is the first one. I think there's a little bit of a delay, so I'm not entirely sure. It'll show soon. All right. So we've got Shuda, our boy, coming through with a $10 donation, always coming through, always showing us love, always has our back. We love Shuda. Thank you. He's so funny.
We literally talk about you like off camera, by the way.
Like, all the time. We're like, damn, like, who's Shuda? Like, who is he? Where is he? We need to find this man. We love you, Shuda. Thank you so much for continuing to support us, not just with a contribution, but as you do on the internet all the time. Ale, thank you so much for contributing and for joining us on the channel. We really appreciate you and the contribution.
That's hilarious. She said clearly DeSantis is part of the House of Slytherin, which is a Harry Potter reference. Your Harry Potter reference, you would understand.
Stacy, our girl coming through, always looking out for us, sending us the tequila bottles that we that Dave Rubin can afford. Stacy takes care of us. Stacy takes care of us. So thank you, Stacy, for your contribution. We really appreciate it. Our girl Shaney, who's got her girl Judy on the couch right now watching our show, that watches every Thursday. Shaney texts me first thing in the morning and she's like, it's MPL Thursday today.
Oh yeah,
super excited about the podcast. I love you, my girl. Shaney's got a really cool conspiracy driven podcast. I definitely suggest you guys check that out. All right, what do we have next? Emery Roy, $25, my favorite Zoomer. So, my favorite Gen Z Zoomer. Yeah, she's a Gen Z Zoomer, and she gives them hell on Truth Social. She fights with all of the trolls, comes with nothing but facts, and she is a little firecracker. She doesn't back down for nothing. So thank you, Emery. Old Dogs New Tricks, thank you so much. First time we're seeing you here on the contribution, but thank you so much for supporting us. We appreciate you. Angel, who do we have next? Sorry, guys, we're getting through these, but there's a little bit of a delay. Our boy, Adam Silva, forever keeping the lights on. Hey,
damn,
ladies.
Adam.
Just wanted to say again how much we all appreciate what you're doing, the media's job for them each and every day, combating the agenda of Clown World. I pray for you daily. Hashtag duckling rescue. Hashtag nice shirt, Bella. Aw, when you were a duck, mom.
Oh, that's sad, guys. I lost the duck. I didn't lose the duck. The duck didn't make it past the night. It's really sad. I think he had an infection, which is why he passed away. But at least I gave him the last few hours of his life.
A cozy, delicious life.
Yeah.
Did that. Nelson, thank you so much for coming through. Really appreciate it. Where is that? What does CA mean? Is that? Oh, Canada. Ooh, Canada. Watching us from Canada. Welcome, Nelson. I appreciate that. Love, Emery says, I love dragging grifters with Bella on Truth Social. Like I said, that's my girl. That's my girl on there. All right. What do we have after Emery? We have, I don't even know.
Sydney, what the hell?
What the Sydney? Wow.
She says, Sandy, my monthly contribution. Wow. Sydney, aside from the fact that she is always with us, always supporting me, she's been following me for such a long time. Thank you so much, Sydney. We really, really appreciate it. We are looking into really good stuff for MPL, including a cutter, because that's what we really need. We're both very busy people, and this will totally help us with that, because obviously, like, hiring more people, then it's more money. So thank you so much. We truly, truly appreciate it. You are a doll. Thank you. Let's see who else.
And then our girl, Hablando Como Los Locos, who I think just got their channel back. Thank you so much for the donation.
I wonder what happened with them.
Guys, check them out if you are for Spanish content. They have a really fun podcast in Spanish, Hablando Como Los Locos, and they post great content. Wow. I'm kind of taken back. Thank you, guys.
Seriously.
There's
Yenny as well.
Oh, our girl Jenny also came through. Love you guys. And thank you for always keeping it real, real different. Doing a great job. Bro, I love that lady. What's her name? Real Different.
Who?
Bro, the one that does the cooking videos on TikTok that you told me that you don't really like.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I don't really
follow her content, bro, but I can watch her for hours. Yeah. So good. Look at that. There's something you've never seen before.
There's somebody on the chat that said, I'm you here. Hello. What has your stance been on Roe v. Wade and abortion? So our stance, and we had really good episodes, if you want to obviously go back, I guess the summer of last year, somewhere around June, is when they overturned Roe v. Wade. Of course, we're very pro-life, and we were very excited when Roe v. Wade happened. It's something that President Trump promised his supporters, that he was going to appoint Supreme Court justices that were going to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that's exactly what happened. I am very pro-life, so is Bella, but we do have to talk about the temperature of the country. I don't think that a lot of pro-life activists realize that even though people may vote Republican, may be conservative, may be Christians, they take a more moderate approach, which I don't really think there's a moderate approach, because at the end of the day, it's ending a life. But I do think that there are people who won't necessarily, let's say DeSantis, he just signed a 6-week abortion ban. Do her and I oppose it? No, we don't oppose it. We think that's great. However, there are people who may think that that is an extremist take, right? And what happened last week was pretty interesting. Trump was asked, or his campaign was asked, if they would support a national abortion ban, I think of 15 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so the response from the Trump campaign was, President Trump appointed 3 Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, as he said he would do. That's what he promised his supporters. That's what was accomplished even after he was out of the White House. Mm-hmm. And we will leave it up to the states. Well, that sent pro-life groups like Life.org and Students for Life and other organizations into a meltdown online, and many of them very unappreciative, very ungrateful of how pro-life Trump has been, said that was not enough, that what Trump needed to do, that he wasn't fit for office, because what he needed to do was implement a total abortion ban up to 15 weeks on a national scale.
Which is so counterproductive,
because the entire thing with Roe v. Wade was to give the power back to the states and to the people, to their elected representatives, so they would implement laws per state that their support that their voters want. So
which is how our country is supposed to operate.
Right. Read the 10th Amendment. You know, when it says power to the states, yeah, you're right there in that little document that was signed like 256 years ago, you know, that old piece of paper that nobody cares about, that we're just fucking shredded into pieces. If you read that, you'll probably find out that the power is supposed to go back to the states. So that's where we stand on that discussion of pro-life, pro-choice.
We're very constitutionalist. We are very constitutionalist. You know, it's like we're conservative in the sense where we want to conserve our constitution. And the reason why Roe versus Wade got overturned to begin with is because we don't want the federal government to have this kind of power. So how is the very right who used this argument to get Roe v. Wade overturned going to use the same argument to say that we need to implement a federal abortion ban? Nothing needs to happen at a federal level. I disagree with over-involvement from the federal government.
At the same time, you can make the argument for the gun rights, right? So if, you know, President Trump or any president can implement an abortion ban, then why can't they implement a total ban on what they like to call assault rifles, which we know don't exist because the AR-15 is not. But can Joe Biden then implement a total ban on AR-15s and on what they like to call assault rifles? That's what people have to put into perspective when you're asking for more power from the government. It's kind of like what's going on too with the whole Disney situation. You have a lot of the culture warriors like Matt Walsh, Jesse Kelly again today, and everybody pretty much on Twitter who are completely disconnected from reality and from the middle class. And they're basically saying that if you are a Republican and you're not trying to fight Disney, you're not trying to fight Bud Light, you're not trying to fight any of these woke corporations, you're not worthy of being in the Republican Party and you're not really in tune with what they say. It's really the fight. Now, I think if we were in a very good economy, I think that people were making money. I think that if people's 401ks were looking fat, I think that if gas wasn't fucking almost $5 in some state, $4
eggs
here,
$10.
If eggs were in $12 and we had to like steal eggs from Las Fincas here in Miami, just kidding. I think that a lot more people will be eager to support such cultural wars. Now, let's break down the Disney cultural war. It's an entire PR campaign. It's an entire PR stunt, not campaign, PR stunt from Governor DeSantis, which, you know, we will say here on the podcast mm-hmm. at first, not understanding what was going on and not understanding it was a stunt, we were on his side. And the reality is that the reason why they started cracking down on Disney was because Disney dared to say that they were against the Don't Say Gay bill or parental rights and education bill, and they would use their power, their lobbyist power, to, I guess, fight the governor in a way. So the governor said, okay, if you want to fight me, we're going to crack down on you, blah, 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 yes and no. As you guys saw, none of that happened because Disney was able, I guess, to keep their old board. So what's happening now, because the government keeps trying to retaliate against Disney for what they consider protected speech, is that Disney is now suing Governor DeSantis under a First Amendment right.
And they can win.
And they can win. And they pretty much will win because there's no law, whether it's state or federal law, that prohibits any corporation from being pro-LGBT. Now, you may say, are you agreeing with them? Of course, I don't agree with grooming of children. Of course, I don't agree with Disney putting all the stuff that they're putting in their cartoons and their movies and whatnot. But is it legally allowed? It is. And I've said this before, if you've never listened to our podcast, I've said it, the only country, or actually it's two countries, or probably more, but from the big countries and our enemies, Russia and China, those are countries who have actually cracked down on the LGBT or the support of corporations and the LGBT. How? Because they don't have a constitution. They don't have a First Amendment right. Neither Russia or China has that. You guys know that. I know that. Bella knows that. Almost the whole world knows that. So Vladimir Putin passes a law that criminalizes or actually penalizes corporations from putting any LGBT propaganda. So if you are MAC Cosmetics and you decided to put Dylan Mulvaney, a transgender, or if you decided to have a Pride parade, you can't have that and you will be penalized in Russia. We don't have that in America. We don't have that in Florida. But the governor is trying to be this like, oh, I'm the new Francisco Franco. I'm the new fascist. I'm the new tyrant. I'm an authoritarian. And he's actually losing.
But he really isn't. But he really isn't, right? Because this is kind of what we've already proven. They're all PR stunts. How do we know they're PR stunts? Because there's a reason why he goes after Disney, the Hyatt. I'm going to cancel these big name companies. I don't know. Why not sign into or seek out legislation that would punish local parents. Municipalities that spend county budgets on LGBT parades and painting flags on the floor? What if that would be considered irresponsible and not a proper way of using county funds? What if a lot of the times at these shows, there is suggested the sexual, like pornographic type of instances that are acted out? What if parents subjecting their children to obscenities such as, you know, suggested pornography in these shows, what if that was illegal and the parents could be held? Oh, right. Well, that would be hard to pass. It's not the same with the culture war. It's all hard to pass because, again, like Linda just mentioned, there are no laws.
Speech.
This stuff with Disney is not going to go anywhere because the government cannot target a private company because they oppose their stance and ideology when it comes to sexuality. We live in America. The government cannot do that. And it is very well documented that somehow, to some degree, Governor Ron DeSantis has been targeting Disney. So they could very well say that, yeah, they are receiving unfair treatment from the governor in the state that they're in because the government disagrees with their political ideology. Get it through your head. I'm kind of mind blown by how many, and I know the Truth Social is like boomer central and a lot of them like don't always like, you know, they want things to happen a certain way, but I'm mind blown that there's so many people on Truth Social saying, shut down Disney, for cruise. Disney needs to be shut down forever. How, under what capacity, what laws do you want to enact to shut down Disney forever? And do you then realize that those same laws that you want to be used to shut down Disney can then be used against your small business?
Right.
Because you decided to put up a Trump flag or because you decided to put up your USA flag.
Well, it's kind of like bake the cake, bigot.
Correct.
Bake the cake, bigot.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It can go both ways. That's why our style of government should be the best. What was the other thing that we had? We talked about this every time. Part-time governor. This is so funny. Let me see the comments.
Well, let's. What's the other one that went through to talk more about DeSantis's deceptive legislation? There is a bill that was presented by medical freedom activists here in Florida, SB 222, and SB 222 would basically provide protection against shot mandates and mask mandates in the event of a future pandemic similar to what we saw in 2020. The governor said, no, I'm not signing that. I'm going to sign SB 252, which he signed yesterday. And in SB 252, it's, beautifully written in the sense where I'm going to go up against, world organizations and nobody's going to wear masks and nobody's going to have to wear COVID and nobody's going to have to get the vaccines and all these other things. But, and here's the but, it only applies to COVID, SARS-CoV-2. Mm-hmm. It only applies to COVID. So what does that mean? That if next year they decide to bring on smallpox, yellow fever, whatever it may be, this is the new pandemic or whatever it is, the law then becomes obsolete. So then it goes back to what we see come out of DeSantis once and time and time and time again, which is that he does these mediocre, watered down
bills,
stunts, moves that he makes where, you know, he comes off like, I'm being an authoritarian and I'm going to do this and it's the most base thing and this is the most important medical freedom bill ever signed in the history of the United States of America, when in reality, it's just not that great. Like, what are the chances that the next pandemic is going to be COVID?
So basically the medical freedom bill right now, which they're going to sign into law, HB 252, protects people from discrimination from COVID-19. And that's really it. If you guys didn't see, apparently some leftist guerrillas or some sort of like group in Sudan, in Africa, what they claim, it could be a lie. I'm not sure. I can't freaking check what's going on in Sudan. Maybe I should go on TikTok and watch. But pretty much, apparently, there's like some fighters, some freedom fighters or terrorists who have gotten a hold of some labs, and these labs have like monkeypox and polio and what was the other one that was really scary? They basically have the ability to spread these viruses. And so people are speculating, well, what if the next pandemic, whether it's smallpox or polio or whatever it may be, then what? Then Florida has to rewrite more laws.
Another bill
so that we don't have to vaccinate against smallpox or whatever it may be. And that is really what it comes down to, that Florida, as free as, first of all, the hate speech laws and everything else that they're passing, there's no way that you can call Florida the free state of Florida anymore. There's no way. And then, of course,
it's the
irony of it all. And then, of course, they passed this open carry. They passed concealed carry permit
constitutional concealed carry.
Correct. And when you pass that, it's like, oh, well, it's so much freedom. Well, what about red flag laws that we've talked about in before?
Of which Florida has some of the strictest in the entire country.
Which you no longer have to, it's take your guns first, because your wife decided to tell family court that you beat her up and that you're going to kill her, and you have 7 different AR-15s and 7 different pistols and God knows what else. And so the family court's like, okay, here's your temporary injunction. And while you're going through this entire legal process called lawfare, we are going to take away your guns, and you're going to have to turn them into the police. And once you turn them into police, well, good luck, because you may not win that case. Maybe you win the case and then you'll get your guns back. That's what we have in the state of Florida. That wasn't rescinded right now during this legislative session. Right. Which actually brings me to a personal story. This week I went to get my nails done. And everybody at my nail salon is Cuban. And for the most part, they're the newer Cubans, or they've been in the States maybe for 5-7 years. Most of them are completely new citizens. Obviously, all of them are Trump supporters. Most of them, of course, are Republicans. And for some reason, the conversation of the governor came up, and I was completely shocked to get so many negative reactions from these women that were like, I hate them now and I can't stand them. So I was like, oh, I'm thinking they can't stand them for the reasons that I can't stand them, but it's actually not like that. So I asked one of the nail ladies, like, okay, what's your problem with the governor? Like, why don't you, like, you know, vibe with the governor anymore? Like, what did he do? Well, she was actually spreading fake news. It doesn't matter if it's a census or not, but she was freaking out saying that she's a new mom and that eventually she's going to put her children in public school because obviously she can't afford private school, and that she's scared about the shootings. And her whole thing is that DeSantis signed a law that anybody can get a gun, including a criminal, including an ex-convict, including a crazy person, including children, she says. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, as long as children keep at home. And here's a problem with some of those people, even if they are Cuban, which, you know, Republicans really like the Cubans because they vote Republican, is that they still have this third world mentality, this communist mentality, where they still want more government to take care of certain things. And her whole thing was like, anybody that wants a gun should have a mental evaluation. And I'm like, bitch, you're crazy. I don't need the government to check my mental health, because God knows that they're going to put every single Republican and conservative as a mentally unstable person and not being able to own a gun. Where does she get her news? Probably Univision, probably Telemundo, which are liberal channels who push all of this insanity.
Fear porn.
And then she also said that she was very disappointed to hear about the anti-immigration bills, or I don't know if they're anti-immigration. They're more like, I guess they are.
Immigration control or whatever.
There are a few bills that are passing in the state of Florida, which crack down on illegal immigration. And one of them is that you can actually be penalized, right? Can you go to jail? I haven't read the bill, but I know that Thomas Kennedy,
you could go to jail. If you have the person sitting in the car with you and they you get pulled over, you could go to jail.
So if you have a family member who's illegal or overstay their visa or actually crossed the border and got here illegally, however it may be that they're illegal here, you as the person who has them in your home who has them in your car, you can actually go to jail and get a fine. That is what Florida is passing, and that's turning off a lot of people. That
well, because it's inhumane. Because what are you doing? Like, you're not going to solve the problem by stopping people once they're already in here and forcing them to go live in the street if they have family here. Like, you stop the problem at the border. Uh-huh. You stop the problem at the coast. Ron DeSantis has been so quiet about, you know, the Cubans that float up onto the coast of Florida. And there's a reason for that. You know, whether it's my people or not, is that part is irrelevant. You know, if you're going to have an iron fist when it comes to immigration, then that should include immigration that comes from Cuba that you don't want to talk about because you don't want to piss off the Cuban base in Florida because you understand that you need it in order to win. You know that it's a winnable base for a presidential election. It's why most Republican presidents come down to Miami-Dade so that they can have a cafecito at Versailles so that they can, again, attract the Cuban vote in South Florida because it is that important. But of course, he doesn't want to piss off those people, which goes more to the deceptive tactics. But then at the same time, he's going to sign this really extreme bill that punishes people after they're already here in the country. Like, ¿qué culpa tienen? They were let in illegally through this wide open border. Control the border.
Or, and even remember when there was like all these Cubans coming to Key West and stuff like that?
Yes.
That was not too long ago. Do we have anything else?
Yeah, let's talk about Candace a little bit and the Sharif Crowder situation, since that just kind of like broke news. I know you haven't had a chance to watch the video. But basically, I know that a lot of you have been asking about it in the chat. So what's been going on for, let's start at the beginning. A couple of months ago, Steve Crowder went on air and he criticized a contract that he had received from a media company that was trying to bring him on board. What he was criticizing about that media company was that they had clauses within that contract that said that if you were deplatformed.
It was a Daily Wire.
Well, yes. He didn't state that though. Deplatformed, demonetized, whatever it may be. That that then you're penalized as part of your pay. And he goes out and he says that these are predatory practices from these conservative media companies that should be showing support to these conservative pundits, influencers, talent, as opposed to punishing them with big tech, which is inevitable. Big tech will punish them, right? So he makes this commentary. He doesn't state what company it is, but the Daily Wire realizes that, of course, they're talking about them and they go into damage control. And then they go out and they make a statement against Crowder. Anyways, point of the matter is that in comes Candace Owens defending the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Bowen and the entire situation. And she's decided that she's going to declare war on Steve Crowder. Okay, cool. Now, this was a couple of months ago. A couple of days ago, Steve Crowder has announced that he is going through a divorce. And part of what he shows in this announcement is that he says that he is being
extorted.
And then he goes on to play clips from Candace Owens' show where Candace Owens is alluding to knowing that there's something going on in Steve Crowder's private life, but that she's not going to talk about that right now, but that she knows that that's part. Anyways, insinuating that she's got this information about, we don't know that it's a divorce at this point, but when Crowder plays it, clearly we know that she's talking about his divorce. Fast forward today, a Substack leaked what seems to be security footage from Steve Crowder's home, where he is in a verbal altercation of sorts with his 8-month pregnant wife. And he's being not the nicest husband in the world in the video. And Candace put out a video today where she is responding to this leaked security camera footage. And she named the video "Why Steve Crowder is a Monster."
That's crazy.
And she plays the footage, whatnot. And then she goes on to tell people that if you continue to support Steve Crowder, then you're a problem and you support, you know, the abuse of women, and that he's going against everybody. And that basically she wants us to cancel Steve Crowder because of this video, and says that Steve Crowder is a bad person, and again, calls him a monster.
I just, you know, I reserve a lot of my comments on Candace Owens because
she's scary.
Well, it's not because she's scary, it's because usually, like, especially with women, she obviously is a big voice and she's a big influencer and she's very well liked, especially within the Caucasian Republicans. usually comes off as like you're jealous or you're a hater. And we do have friends in common. She doesn't know who I am, but we do have friends in common. And so I just kind of keep comments and thoughts to myself. There's things I agree with her on. There's things I don't agree with her on. I do think she's very intelligent, but I do think it's a little bit disrespectful in a way to kind of talk about people's marriages
a hell of a lot of way.
It's not a good look for her. Although I've already seen many people who are defending her and who are actually shitting on Steven Crowder on Twitter, on Instagram. You know, we told you he was a piece of shit. We told you he was this. He's a blah, 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 blah. And Republicans do that a lot because they like to play like who's like the more purist, who's the virtual wars, right? They do it more with morality. Obviously, when it comes to liberalism, they do it more with like, you know, I'm the biggest protector of blacks. I'm the biggest protector of the LGBT. I actually care about trans rights and, you know, Jewish people and Latinos. But with Republicans, it's usually like I'm more Christian. I'm more holy.
I'm more conservative.
I'm the real Republican. You're not.
Right.
And when you have that, you know, people also forget that there's a lot of rumors about other marriages and it's like, okay, well, today's Steven Crowder. Tomorrow, what if you're next? You could be next.
Well, the thing is that there's really nasty, vile things that people say about Candace Owens' husband that I won't repeat here because I don't want to get sued by Candace Owens.
Right. No.
And Lord knows that she will find our baby podcast and sue us. But there's really nasty things that people say online about Candace's marriage and her husband. So to me, it's like, bro, like I'm married. I love my husband very much, but sometimes we're not nice people. Like you fight with people. Sometimes I'm about to get my period. Sometimes he's in and you know, hasn't had anything to eat. And, you know, it's clear that they're going through a divorce. It was the security footage from his home. So if he didn't leak it, then who did?
His wife.
Clearly his wife, going through a divorce. They don't have a prenup. They've been married for forever since before he had money. So clearly she's going to find a way of twisting public opinion. So because divorces get messy, it's not a knock on her either. They're just doing what divorced people do. To me, it should be it respected as mutually from across the community where it's like, we don't need to talk about somebody's marriage and we definitely don't have to judge someone's entire character off how they acted in a poor moment in their life off a 15-minute clip. She goes on to say in the video that she's like, oh, you know, we've heard all these other people complain about Crowder having this like abusive attitude. It's like, well, really what we've heard is that he's really demanding and he can scream and he can be mean. But we've also heard from people that have worked with Crowder that he's a perfectionist and that he demands a lot of himself. So that's what he's going to demand of other people. To me, it's like if he was really a monster and such a horrible person, then why were you breaking bread with him 7 months ago?
Yeah.
Before he called out the Daily Wire, you were fine.
Well, I think what's also kind of like, you know, in a way, the irony, right, and karma is that not too long ago when this situation with Crowder was going on where everybody came and said that how dare Crowder put out the stuff about the Daily Wire, that they were giving him a huge opportunity, that of course if the Daily Wire was going to be or if he was going to be demonetized because he decided to say things that are controversial on YouTube, then of course he should take the hit and of course Daily Wire shouldn't lose money because of Steve Crowder. And then fast forward, what's happening to Matt Walsh? Matt Walsh was demonetized on YouTube. And that's exactly what Steve Crowder was trying to point out to Daily Wire, saying, hey, these rules are actually very arbitrary. Like, we don't know where we're going to be punished. Right now, they're punishing Matt Walsh for speaking out against Dylan Mulvaney and the entire trans situation. And of course, we know people lobby against that. And then social media companies come after somebody as big as Matt Walsh. So now Matt Walsh is having to move his show. I think he's only going to post it on Twitter, he said, for free. And I think he's only going to post it on Rumble. So it's like, was Steve Crowder wrong for what he said about the Daily Wire and his contract a few months ago? He wasn't. They also demonetized Brett Cooper. Brett Cooper, something else happened with her. I know she got her TikTok back. But at the end of the day, the entire situation is really nasty. This is the problem with the left. This is a problem with Republicans and why there's no unity in the entire conservative movement is actually falling apart is because of these Holy Puritan, I'm better than you wars, and I will expose your business.
If everyone wants to expose everybody. Nobody wants to expose themselves. Right. Everybody wants to call out the other person for not being enough this. I'm the better Christian. I'm the better conservative. I'm the better Republican. Nobody taking any accountability for their own behavior. Again, I hope that's not the case. But Candace better not have any skeletons in her closet, because the truth is that we don't know. Number one, we don't know if Steve Crowder is going to get pissed right now and offer money to get him dirt on Candace's marriage. Apparently, Steve Crowder's attorneys asked Candace for a ceasefire. When she responded back, they asked her for a ceasefire, and he told them, no, go GFY. I'm going to keep on talking about Crowder. Why? Because she likes it. She likes the clout. This is very similar. We talked about it very time. It's in very poor taste, the way that she shits on Kim Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
Time and time.
It's actually what, like,
she's a prostitute and she's this. It's like, bro, like, it's obsessive. It's over the top. And, like, again, it veers from the cultural conversation. I think she's got very nasty things to say about people sometimes. And I don't think that, you know, even Kim Kardashian is an outsider. And let's say she was just sticking up for her friend or whatever.
She called her a prostitute. I think she called her, like, she also said things worse, that she was just a corpse that lay there. And I don't know. It was just really, really nasty. And especially when there's children at play here, right?
I just think it really sucks for our movement, because you don't have to be a fan of Crowder. You don't have to be a fan of Candace.
I've never actually, like, listened to a whole thing of Crowder. Like, I'm neither here or there. I'm just saying, just to be impartial. Like, I've never been a Steve Crowder fan, not because I'm a hater. It's just simply not my style of content. So I follow him, but I've never actually heard, like, a whole Crowder podcast or anything like that.
What Ale just said is true, and it's what I grew up in. Entre marido y mujer, que nadie se meta. And between, it's the truth.
Between husband and wife,
nobody should get involved. And to me, it's like, Crowder's doing his thing and waking people up and leading people to truth in his way. And Candace is also doing the same thing. And whether or not I personally engage with their content, there's millions of people that do. So millions of people waking up to these realities and being exposed is a good thing. So why would we shit on one another? That's a million views that Crowder, of people that listen to Crowder that don't listen to Candace, and vice versa. So why sit there and shit on one another when you can just accept where it's like, this is my space, this is your space, do your thing. To me, the attack on someone's marriage, commenting, putting out a podcast within hours of that video going live, it's in very poor taste. It's not a classy thing to do, and it's also counterproductive to our movement and what we're trying to do to have influencers, which is something that I see so often, have these influencers and these media persons weaponize the influence that they have over their followings to take out personal vendettas against other influencers and pundits. Yeah. If people had any idea how much nepotism almost exists within these truth-telling communities of people that are mad at each other about personal things, and then they'll start off on the, we need to expose this person, and in reality they're just mad because, like, they broke up with the best friend of whoever it was. There's so much of that.
Wait,
that
hold on. How is it that Bella, giving her opinion, is that a lefty? Like, do you even know the definition of a left or a person? Like, how is it that because Bella's giving her opinion on the situation of a husband and wife, like, this isn't really political. Like,
why do I care about that?
What's right wing being able to talk about personal problems of marriages? Like, what does that even mean? I think that's kind of like a very dumb statement. Like,
well, I just feel like the left is gonna make those kind of character attacks and assassinations. Why are we doing that on one another, and what does that have to do? Like, you have no idea what the relationship with Crowder and his wife was. For all you know, in the video that you didn't see, his wife beats him. You don't know that.
And you don't know that at all.
You don't know that.
And it's a world where men always get the short end of the stick. Men always, or they're the ones that have to play child support. They're the ones that are usually red flag law in the States. So censoring what people can discuss, that's not censoring, my love. Like, I think you need to go back to the dictionary, go on Google, and perhaps Google these things out and see what the definition of censorship
would be if we called for Candace Owens, like no. Candace Owens is doing, which Candace Owens is calling for the censorship of Steve Crowder because of this information. For the cancellation.
Like,
that's censorship.
Right.
Criticizing and saying that there's moral things you should do, like that maybe the DeSantis bros can argue the ideology that we have towards Trump instead of telling people that they're fat and that they're ugly. It's just about what's right and what's wrong and taking low hits behind the belt. Why is Candace attacking Steve Crowder? Because she's mad that they attacked her employer, bro. You think it really has to do with morality? You think that really has to do? Crowder has been called out for his attitude for a long time. And like I said, 7 months ago, she was perfectly fine breaking bread with him. So now why are you canceling him? Mm. Oh, because he took a shot at your employer that pays you. And that's what it's about. I'm not calling for the cancellation of anybody.
I'm
criticizing Candace Owens for calling for the cancellation of Steve Crowder over a personal matter that quite literally does not affect his ability to deliver news. You don't have to like the guy on a personal level. He's a personality. You don't know these people. You're not paying to hang out with him. You're not going to him for relationship advice.
Right.
You're not going over to him for marriage advice. So why should how he's acting at this? And then it goes towards that. I never ask for people not to cover it. It's news. It's going to be covered. It's the judgment of a person based off a 2-minute clip of a marriage. Marriages are messy, bro. People fight. Sometimes you fight just because somebody forgot to take the meat out of the freezer. And those fights aren't nice either. And if somebody took those 2-second clips, somebody would probably say that you're in an abusive relationship too.
Like,
and
you
that's
also,
not fair.
You also have no idea if in the future, which has happened, you guys know that, Steve Crowder and his wife get back together or they never get a divorce. Right. I've known couples, personal friends of mine who were going to go through a divorce and they had a separation, nasty restraining orders were involved, children were involved, and they're still together now because they worked things out. So that's really all she's saying. Like, there's no such thing as like, oh, this is a lefty argument, like censor. That's not censorship. And that's a very, in my opinion, a very weird take.
I just
take.
Feel like for somebody like take. Candace Owens with millions and millions of followers to an hour after that video gets dropped to immediately go on her live and feel that it was the most important breaking news out there and title this video, Steve Crowder is a monster and we all need to cancel him. And then go
she's
far
an entertainer.
As shaming people and saying, if you don't cancel Crowder, then you are part of the problem. It's like, what are we doing to one another? And that somebody just mentioned the tribalism, because in the video she says, oh, people accuse us of tribalism all the time, but I'm not going to defend somebody just because they're a Republican like I am. No, like you are engaging in tribalism because you're trying to attack people within your own to create even more dispersed tribes. Like, you are engaging in tribalism for the Daily Wire.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Anthony Joseph, so good to see you here. I saw that you sent me a postcard. Thank you so much. You're always thinking of me from a very long time. I appreciate you a lot. Same thing with Reyna. I also got the postcard that you sent me the other day, or sent us the other day for Eastern. I go to like my PO box only every once in a while. But there a lot of people have skeletons in the closet, and we're just going to leave it at that. I do wish him well. Very bad things about Candace's marriage. Let's just say that.
Just gonna sip this water.
I just won't say anything after that.
Mm-mm.
I do think, you know, Candace Owens was chosen to be part of the Daily Wire for a reason, aside from the fact that she has a lot of followers and people like her, and we're not going to take that away from her. But also, it's about entertaining people. It's about the drama. It's about being like, that's why her, you know, her show is more like an Oprah show and whatnot. So I understand how this sells. It sells views. People want to know a chisme. People want to know the tea. But that's that, you know, no hate towards everybody. We definitely wish Crowder the best, especially because his wife is pregnant, especially because there's children involved. And to me, it's like, maybe if you're just a couple, you don't have any children, it's a little bit easier to manage and to separate and to divorce. But I think once children are involved, especially with public figures
and millions
and millions of dollars, it's a little bit more complicated. So Nadia, okay. Good to see you here.
You guys have any questions for us, please? Is Nadia on the chat?
Yeah, we'll be here for Nadia. 7 more minutes because we've already been talking for 83 minutes.
Guys, hopefully you learned some stuff on Ron DeSantis per usual. We're going to keep on calling out the truth here. But drop some questions on the chat or commentary, guys. We're going to stay on for a couple more minutes. Cats race exist in the house. I know what that means.
God, oh my God. I just to tell you guys something funny, like this is completely off topic. So there's like this, there's like a whole like red pill, like space, especially on Twitter, where I guess you could find like the Andrew Tate of the world and stuff like that. And it's all these people that are obviously shitting on women, shitting on modern women, shitting on dating, shitting on everything. And, you know, your body count, if you got like 3 more guys that you've ever had sex with and you're just might as well just kill yourself, like all these things. And so there's this girl, her name is Shannon Michelle, and she became kind of like the red pill, like person that that women were looking up to, because she came out with a video that was like, I used to be a blue haired feminist back in the day. And, you know, they lied about feminism and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, everyone's retweeted that video. It's gotten millions of views. Like even Elon Musk talked about it. And it's so funny because, they just discovered her OnlyFans and they leaked all the pictures of her, like showing her titties and being super nasty. And this is very common. Now she's all about spirituality. She moved over to Costa Rica. And let me tell you something. I'm not judging this girl and I'm not going to shit on her, because if you, everybody is redeemable. And if you were once a whore or once an OnlyFans or whatever it may be, and you've changed your ways and you've decided that's not the life for me, I'm going to leave that and this is me, good for you. But there is a a lot of these girls who were once, you know, very promiscuous and like that. And then what they become is spiritual gurus. All of them. All of them.
They're all in Tulum.
Literally, they're all.
Tulum or Costa Rica.
They're all into Costa Rica. They go to Tulum. They're doing ayahuasca. They're doing mushrooms. They're doing LSD. They're healing. They're always healing. They're never not healing. They do all sorts of things. And I'm going to tell you something that's really funny. Right before coming in here, one of my friends sends me all these screenshots, which I can't share, obviously, right now. But it says of this girl that we know, somebody from I don't know if you know Jasmine, whatever. I'll tell you about her later. This girl that we know, and I've always hated her because one time she sat next to me. This was pre-COVID. And she was like talking to me. And then out of nowhere, she starts telling me about her sexual life and how she's in open relationships and she has sex with like married men and she has sex with like guys with girlfriends and how she enjoys all these things. And she's telling me all this shit. And I'm like, bro, I just met you a minute ago and you're telling me, and I'm literally terrified of you. Like you're telling me how you have sex with married men and like, whatever. And so now, and so she moves to Tulum, right? And so she moves to Tulum and she's still doing her spiritual shit and all this stuff. Well, I just got that people found, I just got a bunch of text messages and screenshots that people found her Twitter, and it's a pornographic Twitter, and it's full of things that say very obscene things.
Like her butthole? Like, can you see her butthole?
For example, do you want to learn how to masturbate to manifest? Subscribe for free to my OnlyFans.
Oh my God, that's really bruja shit.
I swear to God. Do you want to learn how to use masturbation to manifest? Subscribe for free to my OnlyFans to qualify for instruction and visual inspiration. And then she has a face like this. Amazing how a night of having a beta lick my kitty until I have at least 25 water fountains can help me see I don't actually have anxiety. I just needed to leave a puddle in public.
Is this a spiritual healer?
I cannot with you fucking hoes. I can't. What is wrong with you? haram, 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 haram. Abdul, get the stones immediately. I cannot with you people. I cannot with you hoes. Every single time I think that clown world cannot be top. Every single time I think we have reached a peak in the clownery and the buffoonery of everybody, here comes
the spiritual host to talk
about puddles.
I asked you this the other day, bro.
Gosh.
Like, is this really, like, do I live in a bubble? Like, my question is, do I live in a bubble? Like, are we really living in a society where it's, like, widespread that, like, women are, like, openly celebrating being hoes and having OnlyFans? Or is this just something that's being...
It's being amplified.
Amplified by, like, you know, the podcasts.
It is. It's being amplified with people like Fresh and Fit and the other whatever podcasts and stuff like that. It's not to say that there are not women who are obviously using OnlyFans as a means of an income and trying to sell their bodies, but it is definitely more amplified than anything. And you know, obviously, these dudes that have these podcasts like Fresh and Fit, they obviously prey on these girls, especially younger girls, to invite them to the podcast so they can shit on them and be like, oh, the modern day woman's a whore, and then blah, 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 blah. I think it's dumb. But hey, you know what? If men like it, if people like it, it's content.
Men do like it. We talk about this all the time. Men love like hoes. Men will sit there and watch hours upon hours upon hours of Fresh and Fit and then fall in love with the biggest hole of them all. Like the one that all our homies ran through, that's who they end up wifing up.
Well, here's the thing. That girl, Shannon Michelle, that's her name, Shannon Michelle or whatever, the one that moved to Costa Rica, she's pregnant now and she has a little hubby. So it's like, her husband didn't care that she was an OnlyFans hoe, and now she's pregnant and she moved to Puerto Rican and she's having the time of her life. But guys, we've come to an end of our podcast. Thank you so much to everybody today, especially all of our contributors. We truly, truly appreciate you. We couldn't be here. Were we here last week? We were not, because you were sick, right?
No, we were here last week.
We were here last week, the week before. As always, thank you to our sponsor, Sentry H2O, a under the water sink filtration system. So if you're looking for an affordable and easy and patron-owned water filtration system because you don't want to calcify your pineal gland and turn gay like the frogs, then you can visit sentryh2o.com. Use code MPL10 for 10% off. And for sure, we will see you next time. We'll have the audio ready tomorrow as well.
See you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.